And this is WHTC in Holland, and it's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number, 395-1450. Our guest this morning, Mayor Kirk Dykstra. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Juke. How are you?
Very good. Got some things to talk about this morning. One of them is Washington, which I have avoided for about 3 months now.
Because you're a wise man, it is getting closer to being completed. It has been a major project, and as both of my children have both noticed, they've said, "Dad, why is this street not as we cross over it, 40th? Why is this street not black?" I said, "Well, honey, because it's a concrete street."
Yes.
And I said, "Well, why do we do that?" Well, in essence, because it's much more expensive to do, but it holds up much better in the kind of traffic. Heavy semi-traffic, plus just the amounts of traffic, necessitate that sort of surface be the one that is used in on that stretch, which I think added a little bit of time. But the project has really gone incredibly smoothly for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in the sort of finishing stages of it. So, another week, maybe two, on the outside I'll hedge and say maybe 2 weeks. We should be done, but I think it'll be done before that. The spot where we're having a bit of issue is more on 24th Street, close to the East K7 building. And part of the issue with that is it was principally driven by the subsurface things, the water mains and those kinds of things is principally the reason we were doing that project. And there was some delay and some difficulty in getting a test, I don't exactly know the phraseology, but in essence a water test that would pass.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to do it a few times, and every time you do it, it takes, you have to send the results off to a lab, and it takes a little bit of time to do that. And they had a couple of issues, but I'm pretty sure they finally got that test taken care of, so everything's in good shape. Now it's just a matter of scurrying to try and get it finished. And last I heard, there might be a bit of a headache the first day or so of school.
Yeah.
So I guess what I would suggest is keep on, if you have children who go to East K7, I would keep in, keep the city's webpage close at hand and listen to this station, because I know that part of the plan is to keep the public informed through a lot of the local media. So, we'll try and keep you up to date here at the station.
Good.
So that you can keep the listeners up to date as to what's going on.
Good.
There. Because it could be a mess, unfortunately, because of that that slight trouble we had with the water test.
Okay, very good. All right, another big project we have in the offing, and that is the Civic Center.
Yeah, it's one of those, honestly, it's one of those projects that my thinking has sort of changed on over the past, 5, 6, 7 years. Initially, and I think part of this has to do with my coming to realize the affection for which many people in this community feel for that facility.
Right.
Not the way it is now, mind you. Very few people are very pleased with the way it is now, but there are very fond memories of that being a key institution, a key facility in our community, and memories of basketball games and other kind, some tulip time events or whatever it may be. People have strong attraction and strong affinity for that building. For many years, I was sort of the mind that this facility has probably served its useful life, and we ought to think about at some point potentially reusing that site. I think that the better approach that we're looking at now, and part of what we'll talk about tonight, is what I would call kind of a sort of a light restoration of it.
Yeah.
So it would, there had been some discussion in previous years that maybe what we do is turn it into a purely conference / recreational / modular kind of space. And I think that part of what we will ultimately seek to do has those components to it. But I think the thinking right now is that what we want to see happen with that facility is to really bring it back to its glory, if you will. I mean, it was built at a certain time and in a certain place. And for me, I think kind of the moment at which I thought, this could really be an interesting facility going forward. 2 years ago, I was going there at night for something, and there were a couple of lights on in the gym, but it was dark outside. And you walk in, there's a little bit of light, a lot of shadows, and it felt in some ways like you were stepping onto the movie set of the film Hoosiers. We don't have a lot of buildings like that left
right
anymore. So how can we transform that facility to be more of what it is. So when I say kind of a restoration light, what I'm saying is make sure that all the guts work great. So yeah. Windows that don't leak, tiles that aren't falling.
New windows, air conditioning.
Air conditioning.
Maybe some new seats.
Maybe, you know, who knows? Certainly new sound, new lights. You know, upgrading all that technology, which makes it more usable for things like symphony concerts or other acts that might come into town and need a space that size. But then also do some improvements to the lobby area, you know, better space for, you know, let's just put it this way. The demands for bathroom space, the demands for locker room space, the demands for concession space in the year 2013 or 14 are probably significantly different than what they were in 1952. And, you know, that facility is very much lacking in those kinds of amenities. So we need to do things to bring those parts of the facility up to a more modern standard that make it an attractive place for people to want to use, want to rent, and, you know, happy to be there. So the price tag ballpark, we're working with GMB here in town, and they've given us kind of a general price tag of anywhere from, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 million, somewhere in that range, depending upon what the options are. So what we're going to be talking about tonight, and I know we've got a call coming, so we can take that in a minute. What we'll be talking about tonight is the potential for adding on, you know, is there the potential, do we get some real bang for the buck to add on a couple of little pieces to add some meeting space areas? You know, is it worth the expense to be able to bring in different kinds of revenue-generating sorts of events? So that's kind of it's a touch point on the overall project potentially tonight, and then it's just more of a discussion also about whether or not we ought to look more deeply at this question of adding some additional spaces so that we can maybe bring in some additional kinds of events that right now aren't coming there and wouldn't come there even if the space was in good shape.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's exciting in some ways, and, you know, the funding is still somewhat, I don't want to say up in the air, but it's still to be determined. But we recognize that while the bones of the facility are in good shape, you know, it was built like a tank. Right. I mean, it isn't an armory, but it might as well have been, because it really was
built like that.
Yeah. There are some issues with some of the bones that need to be addressed. You know, the windows are in
terrible shape.
You know, some of the undersurface stuff has got some water issues and those kinds of things. So we've got to do something. And if we're going to spend some money, we ought to spend smart money.
Okay. Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Good morning. Good to hear. Well, we're talking about doing something with the Civic Center either way. One thing I have a question about, recently there was an article in the Holland Sentinel about how busy our farmer's market is. Matter of fact, it's filled overflowing, I guess, with customers and a list of vendors waiting to get in there. And then this past weekend, there's been a huge article in the Grand Rapids Press about their new indoor farmer's market. Has there ever been any consideration about turning the Civic Center into a full-time farmer's market, perhaps even a year-round one?
You know, that discussion certainly is part of the thought of what this facility might look like. And, you know, clearly I think that the direction we're headed is to really in many ways keep the look and the feel of it the same, but that certainly would not preclude the use of it for something like an indoor farmer's market, and maybe even taking that northerly edge of the building and doing some things to be better suited for an event or a use, something like that. So it's in the discussion point, but, you know, it's always important to remember that in Grand Rapids, which I haven't been there yet, but my understanding is it's quite a facility. That I don't know what the final price tag was on that thing, but I'm sure it's well over
$30 million, I think they said.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so anything's possible if you can get those kinds of resources. But, no, I mean, to answer your point quite directly, I think that the potential for non-summer farmers market uses is certainly in the planning of what might be one of the uses that happen in a renovated facility. Because you're right, the farmers market is really one of those things that 10 years ago was in good shape, but now it has completely exploded and is one of those really new, great summertime traditions in the Holland area.
Hey, if it works, it works. You know, and if, we'll have to see what Grand Rapids does in the next few years with their indoor market. And my hometown out east had a year-round market, too, and it seems to flourish pretty good. Maybe it's the new trend around the country. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe.
Thanks,
I know, you know, Right. Yeah, I mean, yep. I know, for example, Milwaukee did something somewhat similar, and I think that they've had good success with theirs. So, you know, I think probably what we would end up looking at is something that is, you know, much more flexible in use and not just a completely dedicated sort of facility just for that. So,
sounds good.
Great. Thanks. Thank you.
We're here with the mayor this morning, and if you have a question, you may call us 395-1450. It's back to school time for Holland and all over.
Yeah, all over. In fact, some of them are back. Black River and Holland Christian, for sure, are back at school. Hope College, of course, is back in session. And our public school systems start the Tuesday after Labor Day. So, you know, a couple things. One, especially in the city area, watch out for children. I know the Holland Public System really has planned a lot around the idea of children walking to school. So we have a lot of our school kids, which I think is fantastic, but we have a lot of our school kids who will, you know, be out on the sidewalks during those busy morning commute times and, you know, mid-afternoon times when school gets out. So it's always an adjustment for those of us who are driving around to make sure that we're on the lookout for the youngsters. Secondly, it means the, you know, the kickstart of all of the fall activities. You know, I think for those who have maybe been in the school environment for a long time, you know, for most people, springtime is that sort of new birth and freshness. But I think for people who are in school, fall is that feeling. And you get the crisp air and
new
football
jeans.
Games and new jeans, right? Yeah, fresh crayons, maybe with even the sharpener on them, you know, and the 64-pack or whatever it was. But no, so, you know, we're going to start to see some football games happening. My daughter had her first volleyball thing yesterday, so summer is officially over as far as my kids are concerned.
Okay, got another call. Yes, you're online with the mayor.
Yes, I was just wondering... they're talking about redoing the Civic Center in the future. Now, I understand when the Civic Center was built, didn't they use all local companies and local contractors when they built it?
Yeah, I don't know if that was the case or not.
It was built in 1954 and
yeah,
opened up?
Yeah, early 50s.
Early 50s.
Yep, early 50s.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering if they were going to do that again, you know, to help out the industries or the contractors in Holland here.
Well, you know, we actually have a purchasing policy for these for many things the city does, and in some ways you have the clash of two very good ideals, and you love it when they're not clashing. But the clash is this: you want to be someone who supports local business and local industry because, of course, these are the folks that provide jobs and are community supporters. On the other hand, since you're using tax money, you want to also get the best bang for the taxpayer's buck. So what we have done is we have a policy in place that says most often we are obligated or nearly obligated to take the low bid on any project. Now, if the low bidder if a local bidder is within 2% of the low bidder, what we have said is if the local bidder is willing to match the low bid price that within that 2% margin, we will then prefer the local contractor, the local supplier.
But shouldn't a local contractor that employs local people get more consideration than somebody out of town?
Well, but again, the idea...
You know, that's like California, they had a Chinese company build a bridge, and in one of the California cities over an American company or something like that.
But again, the issue here is also that we want to spend the taxpayer dollar as wisely and as frugally as we possibly can. So it, you know, sometimes, you know, what we love it is when we have local bidders who are the low bidders. Then it's a win-win across the board.
Okay.
And we certainly do try to source a lot of our service business locally. So, for example, you know, GMB Architects has worked very closely with the city on a whole lot of projects. And, you know, we try to, you know, buy locally as much as we possibly can, with the understanding that, you know, we also have an obligation to make sure that we're spending the taxpayers' dollars as well as we can and as frugally as we can.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Bye. Thank you.
You.
Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Hello, Mayor.
Good morning.
Hi. You know, I got to agree with that last caller. I've born and raised here in Holland. You know, I want to, as a taxpayer in the Holland area, I want to see my money go towards local businesses, even if they are maybe a little above moderately above a low bidder from outside of this area. It just makes it just more economically feasible for everybody around here if they get a job.
And, you know, as a taxpayer, I think you should be listening to the citizens of Holland on that kind of stuff. If the majority of that is swaying the way that that last caller and I are talking, I would appreciate it if you guys revamped your policy and do something of that nature. I'm retired, not looking for a job. I'm just looking out for the next the next generation, and the people who want to make a living here in Holland. That's I just wanted to voice that to you.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Well, and you know, again, we do use a lot of. If you look at a lot of the construction projects we've used, whether it's we haven't had a lot of full-time construction things that have happened given the recent recession, but you know, the local contractor on the windmill project, for example, is Elsinga and Volkers.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, those big ticket items, quite often we are using local firms, and we like to do so because A, they do great work first and foremost, and B, you know, obviously local is better because the money stays in the community.
Good morning. You're online with the mayor. Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
The callers are right. They're trying to make a good point, but they forget what happened like in Detroit with if you were a friend or a buddy or a relative of Mayor Kilpatrick, you know, you got the bid and were awarded the contract too. So
yeah,
the city has some big responsibility.
Right. So part
it's
of
not just friends and family.
And that's a very good point. That really is part of the reason, a large part of the reason why we have this policy in place, is that we want, you know, we don't want the, you know, the cronyism kinds of charges that, you know, if you're a construction friend of me or of the city manager or something like that, that, you know, you get all the work shoved in your direction. So we do open bidding processes. We put the specs out, have people submit closed and sealed bids. And 95 times out of 100, it's the low bidder. And we are especially happy then when through that process, our local companies are those low bidders, because obviously we have some excellent, excellent local companies.
Well, Mayor Bosman, who was active in city politics and so on, and also an alumni of Hope College many years ago, started something in Holland called Community Day.
Right, the Ox Roast, I think it initially was called.
It was the Ox Roast.
So, yes, we have it again happening this year, September 14, Saturday. The lunch alternates between somewhere on campus and somewhere in the city. This year it's the city version, so it'll be on Windmill Island. You know, a great deal. You get a good meal, you get tickets to the basketball game, you get tickets to the soccer game that night.
Yeah.
There's other things happening on campus. So a fun day, and really the relationship that the college and the community have is very rare and almost unlike most other communities. And I think we are better for it. We are better that Hope is located right in the heart of our city and of our downtown. Hope is better for being located next to this vibrant downtown. So it's a relationship that we're actually much better together than what either of us could be separate apart.
All right. Good morning. You're online with the mayor.
Hi. I wanted to talk about something different.
Yes.
The city has a policy where if your grass gets over 8 inches tall, they'll mow it for you and charge you for it. What I'd like to know is why that big wheat patch in front of the BPW on Hastings is allowed to be there, which is like 3 feet, 4 feet tall, plus several other vacant lots up and down Hastings, and nobody mows those. Could you answer that for me? Thank you.
I can take a stab at it. You know, I'm not directly familiar with those issues in particular. I do know that part of the I think what you're talking about at the BPW, and I could be wrong on that, is there is some specific plantings in place as part of a rain garden, as part of a water retention process, and I think that's probably part of what it is. You know, as far as some of the other vacant lots, commercial lots in town, I really can't necessarily speak to that offhand, but I would encourage the caller to feel free to give the city manager's office a call, because he has much more direct, detailed knowledge about those kinds of things, or can put you in touch with the specific department heads whose responsibility it is to look after these things. So that's
okay.
Sadly, it's not a great answer, I suppose, but it's the best I can do sitting here right at the moment.
All right. We get down to where we get a little personal here.
Okay.
About the seat in the Senate.
Sure. Here we are. We got, look at that. We're out of time. How about that? No.
No, we're still talking about that.
We're still talking about it, and the decision point is coming exceptionally quickly. It's right now there are two candidates, one on the Democratic side, one on the Republican side. I think that from what I'm hearing, there could well be, even if I choose not to, to jump in, there could well be at least one other Republican person who jumps in. So it's really the evaluation stage, both from our family standpoint, because obviously, you know, set aside the issue of if you win and how that looks when, you know, I'd be commuting back and forth to Washington. You know, set aside that question. It's the first the question of, okay, what does the next 18 months look like as we're trying to run this campaign? And
right.
It will be long and hard and very, very expensive. So trying to be as realistic as possible about what that would look like on the reality side. And on the other side, it's the tremendous opportunity, really, to you don't see an opportunity like one of these seats coming around very often. And it's not so much that, gosh, I've always wanted to be a U.S. senator. In fact, I can't really ever remember a time when I said, boy, I really want to be a U.S. senator. But it's really just the sense of, okay, it's a pretty momentous time in our nation's history. There are a lot of major issues facing our country, not short-term issues, but long-term issues. And as I look around and I see the kinds of opportunities I had in my life, I'm the first in my family to graduate from college. I grew up in a wonderful family in Wisconsin. And I just think about the tremendous opportunities I've had. And I look at, you know, are my kids going to be potentially in that same, will they have similar kinds of opportunities? Or are we doing things today that are going to hamstring them in the future? And if that is the case, don't we have an obligation? Don't we have an obligation, a moral obligation, really, to leave the country in better hands than what we found it, than what we got it? That's sort of the generational obligation, to give our kids better than what we have ourselves. And I'm frustrated, I think, and a lot of people are frustrated, that it seems to me that in large measure, Washington, the folks in Washington are not terribly focused or treating as seriously as many of us think they ought to, the problems, the serious problems facing our country. We have so much opportunity in this nation because of the tremendous blessings we've been given, the natural blessings of a large, expansive continent that has oceans and fresh water and tremendous farmland, the human blessings we've been given with incredibly talented people who are among the most creative and inventive in the world. And, of course, the blessings of freedom that we have been given and have been not so much given, but have been fought for and maintained over the generations. So we have tremendous opportunities, but also tremendous challenges. And so my part of my thought process is, you know, is this the time for someone like me who really doesn't come from a purely political background to maybe go to Washington and try and focus our attention on the big picture, taking the many blessings we've been given and bequeathed to us, given to us, using them as best as possible, and then giving our children better than what we found. You know, I think that if people think that Washington works well, then there are plenty of other people who, you know, just shuffle the deck a little bit.
It used to work better, I think.
I think probably, though, you know, I hate to think, you know, maybe part of it's nostalgia as well. I mean, you know, there were great dogfights in the 80s and 70s and 60s. But at the end of the day, it does seem to me that that we're we do fight more and perhaps have less relationships across the aisle. And I think that, you know, part of my personality is, I mean, I have certain beliefs, obviously, and certain principles. But at the other on the other point, I think what we've been able to demonstrate around this part of the state of Michigan is that we can believe things strongly, and then we can also find ways to not let those beliefs permanently divide who we are. Mm-hmm. So the typical way we phrase it is we can disagree without being disagreeable. And that's the piece, I think, that most people think is so lacking in Washington. We understand that, you know what, let's just divide it by party. Democrats and Republicans tend to disagree on the best solutions for things. I mean, that's politics, right? That's part of the nature of the beast. But I think what frustrates so many of us is that it seems as though the politics is always becoming the personal. And it's impossible, it seems, in today's culture to separate out what what people believe in terms of their politics and their views on how best to run a country from the ability to get along and have relationships with one another. So that's, you know, part of what motivates me as I look at my children and as I look at, you know, the challenges facing this country and the opportunities that we have if we seize them. And I'm not sure we're seeing that kind of leadership in Washington. So we'll see. You know, I think the decision will be have to be made very, very soon. I'm someone who does not have huge name identification across the state of Michigan. Mayor of Holland and being a lawyer is a very fine thing, but isn't necessarily one of those things that gets you on the news or in the minds of people across Michigan. So if I am going to do this, then it's going to have to, you know, it's going to require a lot more time for me to get my message out there. So that means that time is short and I need to make the call soon one way or the other.